Oh, I do have some good news first. I don't know if this would be like too community radio, but we got that dog adopted in like 8 days.
Nice.
It was awesome. I miss him. There's another one that the society is trying to get adopted, and he's kind of like got a Mardi Gras vibe about him, and today is Mardi Gras. Would it be all right if I was like, if I did a quick thing for, hey, who wants to adopt? It's just a dog up for adoption that I would take home myself if he could get along with cats, but he cannot.
What? Yes, I have no problem with that. And I think this can. Oh, hi, we're doing it now. We're doing it right now.
Doing what?
The thing you're talking about. Because I have a follow-up question.
What is it?
What is a Mardi Gras vibe to a dog?
So he is being fostered in Mobile, and his
Okay.
name is Marquis Von Bay. And in the photos of him on the website, he is wearing variously a top hat, a Hawaiian lei, and large novelty sunglasses.
Wow.
This is not usual for the Hunting Dog Rescue Society.
That's good. John Candy has been re reincarnated as a dog in
Oh
Mobile.
man, that might be.
Wouldn't you want to adopt John Candy the dog?
Yeah, just name this dog Uncle.
A plane, train, and automobile this guy back home. Man. Summit has been renamed Fudd by the 3-year-old son of the family, which I
That's
thought
pretty
he
good.
looks kind of fuddly.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
Uncle
good.
Fudd.
Uncle Fudd.
He has a very uncular vibe to him. Anyway, the horse is gone and my actual dog is at daycare, so I should probably get some shit done.
Okay.
Y'all, it's so quiet here.
I think the only thing is if we're promoting a dog for adoption, we should just mention like the date and like most people who listen to it will probably be like
Yeah.
after it's already adopted.
Sure.
So just with like
Yeah.
with that awareness.
Yeah, maybe I should keep it. Maybe I should keep it somewhere else.
I think it's fine
All
to
right,
do.
anyway.
It's
Today is February 21st, end of cold open.
Captain's
We
log.
just know how our folks are. They will check in a year from now.
That's
Hey,
right.
do you still
No,
have
this is
the dog?
Hey,
true.
where's Uncle? I want to get Uncle, please.
The only reason I was try the only reason he came up in my brain is they've been trying to get this guy adopted for like 5 months, and he's living outside.
The public library should have dogs you can like take for a week.
Yes.
You
Check out
know?
a dog.
Right. Like
Yes.
you know you can
Oh.
get like hardware and seeds. Like public libraries have a lot of stuff
Can we
beyond
talk
books and
about
videos
this?
and
Might be a
shit.
hand in the dirt thing. Can we talk about this on the show? People don't know about this.
We should save it. It should be saved for hand in the
Public
dirt. I
libraries
agree.
and state. Well, that's my other hobby horse besides state ag extensions.
Why do we, what is a is there like a topic offloading exchange here, going on here?
Yeah,
Like
I know.
I would have no sense of what is a topic that is, oh, that's their jurisdiction.
That's true. That's true. We can talk
Yeah.
about whatever we want. Fuck it.
I was trying to think of a time when they said this is too full cast, and it was the time they lost all their audio,
Yeah,
which was
that's
like
true.
2 weeks
That was
ago.
just a moment that they had. Yeah, but I think if you could go to the public library and be like, I would like a beagle for a week just to see what that's like.
Yeah.
Like,
And then
that
you
would
will
rule.
no longer like a beagle. That's how that works. I would like to step down in intensity, please.
But isn't it good to learn that
Yes.
from a rental situation
Yes.
rather than getting one?
And the good news is there will always be someone who would like to try a beagle. So
Yeah.
therefore, the beagle is always happily occupied getting all sorts of new experiences.
The
The beagle's
wait list
doing
for the
fine.
beagle is
And no
lengthy.
one is getting tired of the beagle.
This would
That's
be good
right.
for like older dogs too, who are have a harder time getting adopted. And there's like, is that a couch? I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Problem is eventually some library, probably in Florida, will be like, we got snakes for rent. Can't
Only
have that.
snakes.
Only snakes.
But then you loose the dogs in the library to control the snake population.
We have no books about Jackie Robinson. Only snakes at this school library.
Critical reptile theory. Wipeout to the Shutdown Fullcast. It's the internet's only college football podcast. You are stuck with it, and you're stuck with us. I'm Holly Anderson, and I am not in control here, but we did some math, and we figured out it had been the longest since I had had to do the welcome. Spencer Hall is currently, oh God, taking his children to a national park on purpose, surrounding me in an orb of healing light. Are Jason Kirk, live from Epcot, Canada.
Thank you.
Ryan Nanny in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee.
Why do we use special years for dogs but not other animals?
What do you mean special years?
Well, we have dog years, right? Like, that's a thing. But it's only for dogs. Why is it just for dogs? Like, other animals have...
Pretty sure we do it for cats.
Do we have cat... What's a cat year?
It's kind of... Okay, it's kind of a... it's not a consistent scale. Like, it speeds up.
Yeah.
It's, like, more sped up at the start. But it's kind of... It's not a straight-up math thing. It's like an uneven parabola.
What the fuck?
There are many theories.
But I've seen these at the vet.
Anywhere between 7 and 15 is a cat year.
Anywhere between 7 and more than double 7 is a cat year.
This is based on my first 10 seconds after Googling cat years. So, what other animal do you want to know?
Well, like turtles, for example. There's turtle no turtle years. Year. We just say this turtle is 107 years people
you're saying
years
there's
old.
No turtle year, but that just means you don't know if there's a turtle.
For an easy calculation, yeah. Your age and turtle years just simply multiply by 2. One human year is 2 turtle years.
What?
Ryan, I would like to go back
that
to something.
Can live to be like 60? Hello, Michael Serber, not in Clemson, South Carolina, not in Washington, as by the state of his hoodie, but in the woods of North Carolina in an undisclosed location.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I do want to go back to something you said, though. I'm not that sorry.
You really said that many things.
The turtle, you say that we just say this turtle is one. We don't say it in turtle year. Do you introduce dogs as like, this dog's 35? Do you say that? Because the way
I
you said that led me to then believe that you're like, here's my 42-year-old dog.
No, we don't do that. That's my point, right?
We do it with people like as to immediately excuse that they've shit on the floor.
Yes.
Mm. Now, having begun Googling this topic, I would like to tell you about creatureyearstohumanyears.com, which includes all sorts of converters. Chinchilla years. Chinchilla years. Let's see, 10 years, up to 20 years, so your converter. Ryan, tell me how old your chinchilla is, please.
Let's say I've had a chinchilla for 2 human years. How old is my chinchilla?
But when was it born is the question.
Okay, my chinchilla was
not when
born,
you acquired it.
Sorry, my chinchilla, for the purpose of this, was born in 2021.
Okay, so it is 2 years old. So evasive about this. My God. All right, so 12. 12 is your year for chinchillas. 12 is your...
chinchillas aren't born. Holly, they're grown.
Holly, can we do... would you like to know about hedgehogs?
Boy, would
sheep,
I.
Bears.
Oh,
or
bears?
Sheep, okay.
Bears have different ears?
We'll do bears next. Holly, how old is your sheep, please?
4.
4. We're going to go with... appears it's actually 30.
Mm.
So that's tough
Get
math.
A job, sheep.
Serber, can I interest you in...
Oh, I got a millennial sheep.
Serber, your camel.
Mm, yes, tell me.
How long is that?
It's the camel was born in 20...
Go big with this number.
The camel was born in 2011.
I think it was actually... I think your camel's 36, which means it's actually 89.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So, camel, you're going pretty big with the number. Wow. And there's lots of other...
Fuck.
I hope you learned your lessons.
I have. See, this is why it's good that Spencer's not here, because Spencer would just indulge me in a useless way.
Right.
But you all have actually provided me useful information that proves I'm a dumbass.
No, you just hadn't looked it up.
That's the dumbass part.
No, like the internet was only invented a few decades ago. If you didn't know about it.
How can I, a person who's worked on the internet extensively, have possibly known that there
How
was
to tell a, hamster's
a solution
age.
For these
that
things?
That sounds even harder. You're going to look at it. And...
Well, Jeeves died 10 years ago, so I can't
I
ask him anymore.
That time I think when you can drink. Just, when you could just bully your way through conversations with confidence and be like, no, that's right.
I remember an extensive debate we had, I think in early high school, about whether Dom DeLuise was alive or not. And because we didn't have smartphones, it was like, this was always a debate we'd have at lunch or after school or something. So it was not in a computer lab right now, so there's no way to know.
I remember just having this exact debate about Ronald Reagan. And everyone just sort of agreed we would feel better if he wasn't around. So we decided that was canon. When did he go?
That would be like... a lot. See, it'd be... It was a lot more inconvenient, but it would also be a lot more fun to find out if it was true or not in those days.
Yeah, true. More of an event.
We're going to go to the fucking library and check out a dog and then see if Ronald Reagan is still alive.
Oh, I meant we're going to find Dom DeLuise's house and see if there's a live Dom DeLuise in it.
Nope, just full of library dogs. Unreturned library dogs.
Overdue dogs.
I did have an idea for this episode that I ultimately decided we shouldn't do, and I shouldn't even... I probably shouldn't even say it out loud here, but I didn't want to even propose it to
Spencer's
the rest
not
of
here.
You.
We're fine. There's only adults left. What do you want?
The idea was we should do Spencer's funeral, but I was worried because we speak things into existence on this show.
Yeah, while he's traveling,
Spencer would die.
While he's traveling he's hiking in the snow with two small children.
Yeah. Big geology and big animals all around.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did we already set it in motion?
I don't know. I think we
specifically already set it in motion.
That's fucked up, Ryan.
My theory is that we have not, because whenever we try to invoke our ancient and mystical powers...
How'd that go with there being
no
such thing as turtle years?
But that wasn't a thing I was trying to make happen. Anytime we try to make...
I don't know that it was already a thing until you said
How many years have we been trying to kill Kissinger in a skateboarding accident?
I swear to God, they've got to stop him.
The problem there is too many people are trying to.
The powers are like magnets bouncing off each other.
What does this do to the Tinkerbell theory? Is it just too much noise?
What's that?
The clap your hands if you believe.
Oh. Maybe by wishing for Henry Kissinger's death, we are acknowledging that we believe in him, and that's why he's alive.
Right.
So if
I think
we
just too many people are wishing.
Refuse to invoke him. Anyway, I hope Spencer's okay. If this comes out and Spencer is dead, I want you to know I feel quite bad about it. Like... more than normal full cast episode bad about it.
Still going to put it out, huh?
I think we have to. Otherwise, it looks like we're hiding out in Cerber.
Yeah, you're right. Do you think the boys like had a mutiny and like they took him down together?
The last communique Ryan and I had from him was last night at, what, Ryan, like 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Where he said, it has been less than 2 days, and I have already told my elder son to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. In a gift shop. Which is a great place to tell a kid to shut the
fuck
up.
Hot, crowded gift shop. Why are you even taking them into a gift shop?
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus, dude.
Because if you don't take them in the gift shop, that's all they're going to talk about. Like,
I think the move is to go in the gift shop and be like, oh, no, it all sucks.
It's
sorry.
Empty.
It's all math books.
I'm not making fun. I am powerless against a good museum gift shop.
But nobody has to tell you to shut the fuck up in a gift shop. Nobody would dare tell you to shut the fuck up in a gift shop. How about that?
My dream is that we used to get these because my mom worked in public education, and I guess they just hand these out with your master's. But we used to get those. Did you guys get those catalogs when you were little that had like Tiffany lamps and fluttery scarves and like nothing else really?
Sure.
Maybe like
something
a little,
in co.
Maybe like a little ottoman with a fringe on it. And
is this like a catalog where you could buy a globe for your home?
Yeah. And I don't really remember what any of them were. It feels like there were a thousand of them. But one of my... I've talked before about like an internal marker of having unparalleled wealth would be when I had a couch with cup holders in it. But when I was young, being the child of a public educator surrounded by other public educators who thus all dressed, you know, like this is my butterfly outfit, especially because most of them worked in elementary schools. Right. And I'm sorry, Mom, please don't. Like the idea that I had fixed in my mind of a very fancy person, like what fancy ladies looked like, was to dress entirely out of these catalogs.
Mm.
And now that I'm old, I'm like, you know, this looks like a comfy way to go. There's not
achievable.
A lot of like binding fabrics in here. These ladies are comfortable.
No, a lot of loose denim.
I would love to like flutter into a room with scarves just waving, but like I can't gracefully wear a scarf. I just look like I've gotten tangled in it. Anyway. That's my contribution.
So I wanted to start to keep it on the animal theme here.
So we're not doing Spencer's funeral.
I don't think we're doing. Listen,
what if, okay, listen. If something happens now, we have to come back next week and do his funeral.
So why would I waste this content now?
We might as well knock it out now.
No, see, I don't live that way.
Because I know mostly I don't either. Because this wasn't my idea. It was right.
We're not banking this. Okay.
Do you think we should, like, CBS News or something, pre-write Spencer's funeral?
He's old as hell.
It's not our responsibility to write Spencer's obit.
Who's going to do it then, Spencer?
Lots of people will.
Godfrey?
No, he has not.
It'll get turned in 2 months after Spencer's death.
Actually, if we assign it to Spencer, it'll somehow show up at the very last instant.
Yeah, because Holly will write it.
Yeah.
It gets done. It's not my problem.
Don't tell the people how it works. Don't tell the people how it works.
I have a death themed thing though. Not Spencer's death. I have to emphasize. Did either of you see this story about the mail carrier who beat a turkey to death in Arden Arcade, California?
No, Ryan, I believe that one missed me.
Okay. This was sent to us, helpfully flagged by Donnie H. on Twitter. People send us stuff on Twitter and on email, and most of the time I appreciate that you send it to us, but I just forget that it was, like, it's just not helpful because my brain is soft and bad. But this one stuck out.
There's also a weird pattern of stuff that always, always, always comes in just as soon as we're done recording. It happens a lot.
Yeah, so the timing is creepy like that. Okay, so I'm going to start on, let's see. Well, they've updated the date, so it doesn't matter. But at some point in February, in a Sacramento County neighborhood, this is from local news, witnesses contacted wildlife wardens to report that a turkey had been beaten with some sort of pole or stick that a mail carrier pulled from his vehicle. And this article goes on to explain that there are a lot of wild turkeys who live in this neighborhood. People have very different opinions. One neighbor says, I love the turkeys. They're just a little friendly part of the neighborhood. another one, who chooses not to share her last name, says, they are pests and bullies. They harass the mail people. They chase them. I personally have had to intervene when they jumped on a mail carrier's back. So what happened was people saw this turkey get beaten to death by a postal worker. Fish and Wildlife had to come and retrieve the carcass. This is the quote from the man who was responsible for doing that. I'm a game warden. I've been doing this 25 years. It was the biggest turkey I have ever seen. And then an investigation took place, and that's where the story that Donnie sent us comes in, because intrepid reporter at the Sacramento Bee, Ariana Lange, I don't know if that's how you say it, I'm sorry if it's not, filed a FOIA request with the U.S. Postal Service, and they released to her the four-page first-hand account of the mail carrier. I'm going to read the selection to you from the Twitter thread Ariana put together. On March 4th, 2022, the mail carrier wrote, I've had this route for 3 years, and I'm constantly calling to report incidents with the turkeys. On February 28th, three turkeys approached the USPS truck, and the mail carrier thought they were going to follow, quote, the pattern from every other day. But on this day, they didn't. Instead, quote, they came around the front of my vehicle, around the outside, and cornered me at the back. But, Holly, I want to leave this guess up to you. What do you think the mail carrier had in the back of his postal truck to fend off dangerous birds such
as these? Baseball bat.
Incorrect. Jason, you want to stab at it?
Some sort of a noisemaker.
No. Nope. Serber?
Slingshot.
It's a shepherd's crook. Had a shepherd's crook.
Just happened to.
Yeah.
Which end of that is the business end?
I think the curly end.
Okay.
But I honestly, think they're both
more
kind
of a pulling implement
end.
Than a.
Yeah, it's. I think the idea is likely there to sort of slide the turkeys out of the way.
By the neck.
See, I was thinking it was like a scorpion via Mortal Kombat mechanism, a la get over here.
I mean, it's like Gonzo being pulled off stage.
Yeah.
All right. So the mail carrier takes a shepherd's hook, swings once to scare them away, and didn't hit anything. The turkeys backed off for a second, but then they aggressively came at him again. Seeing no alternative, quote, I swung again to protect myself and hit one turkey one time in the neck. The bird stumbled back and fell into the street. Mail carrier. I've seen them play dead so many times that I thought that's what's happening.
I didn't know this was a famed practice of turkeys.
The other, one of the questions in the document itself from the USPS investigator. Question, did you ever use pepper spray against them? Answer, yes, it has no effect on them.
Wow.
All right. So this is the entirety of the story, except Ariana added this important postscript. I called my most important uncle, Uncle Bob, who's very gruff and is not on Twitter, to tell him about this FOIA release, and he said, keep at this story. There's more there. I can feel it.
Damn.
I have a theory.
Go on.
Because the news report emphasizes that mail carriers, not just this mail carrier, are constantly getting attacked by the turkeys in the neighborhood. And other people, it's sort of a mixed bag. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
What is on the side of every USPS truck? Picture of an eagle.
Oh my God. The picture of the bird that beat it out for the national bird.
Correct. Holly has correctly identified what I think is going on here.
Ben Franklin tried to tell us.
These turkeys know that they were supposed to be atop every flagpole. They were supposed to be on our money. They were supposed to be the bird of distinction.
Bald eagles are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead, we went with the bald eagle. And the turkeys are fucking pissed now. And they hate that the Postal Service is rubbing it in their fucking faces that the bald eagle gets to be exalted and also hunted near to extinction, but we'll put that to the side. And the turkey is relegated
to... Hunted to near extinction with the help of whom?
Wow. That's a good
point. Fair to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a revenge plot. I think, Holly, you nailed it.
Oh, it's incredible.
Now, are letter carriers the first wave or the priority target, or is it just because the eagle is so ostentatious on their iconography? Do you think they'll expand this attack throughout the federal government?
That's a really, I mean, I don't think there were any turkeys there on January 6th, but
do they hibernate?
I don't think so. But I honestly don't know.
There can't be that many of them around by January, just like statistically.
It's rough, pretty rough time for them.
There's the turkey who always gets spared at the White House, but it's just the one.
That's one.
And I have to imagine that turkey goes back.
Soft on crime, Joe Biden.
To the rest of the turkeys and is like, I've seen the interior. I have the map. I have the floor plans in my head.
I don't know. That turkey might be the one who's like, come on,
that's
not so
that's
bad.
That's the Toretto turkey.
Oh, you think that's the sellout turkey?
Yeah,
oh.
and then they're like, this guy squealed.
And then the turkeys kill that turkey because he can't be trusted.
Don't fall for it. The turkey is not spared.
Wow.
His execution is passed along to the turkeys themselves.
That's fucked up.
Everyone knows. Joe Biden knows.
It's only fair.
Everyone knows exactly what's going to happen.
Is the Postmaster General still in the line of succession? I think they removed him.
Is there still that Wikipedia page of like lists of federal employees that you wouldn't think are allowed to carry guns, but actually have to carry guns as part of their uniform?
Which federal employees have to carry
like this,
guns?
I don't know if this is new information anymore now that we all know there's Postal Service police. And that they're actually some of the most, like, effective and
firearms and arrest
police.
Authority of U.S. federal agencies.
Yeah, that might be it.
This is not a Wikipedia article, but it is helpful. Yeah, it's most of who you'd think. U.S. Postal Inspection Service has 2,200, about 2,300 field agents who have firearm and arrest authority, at least as of 2008. So these numbers might not be accurate. The Mint Police... the Forest Service.
You know, there's NASA cops.
Are there NASA cops?
The NASA Office of the Inspector General.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 62 employees.
Folks, if you're a NASA cop, sound off in the comments.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology has 28.
Is that
federal,
like...
I don't know.
Is that like gas... Is that the people who deal with, like, gasoline...
I thought it was the people who were like, a credit card has to be this big. But that might be the same thing. NIST is what it's called.
Who has the arrest power but not doesn't get to carry a gun?
Hmm.
The Bureau of Engraving and Printing Police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't get guns?
No, I'm just, I scrolled past their name.
The NOAA?
They sound really fucking scary.
Wait, the NOAA?
The NOAA has 149 employees with police powers. Like, I think to arrest the ocean, right?
Yeah, that's what it's
Yeah, we're going to need to pretty soon.
That's true.
We're doing a pretty bad job of detaining it, might I add.
I like that 149 is like your base level, like, okay, if Atlantis is real, we have some line of defense. Mm-hmm. Not nobody.
Right.
But we can arrest Poseidon if it comes to that. The Library of Congress is 85. Oh, no, they ceased operation and were assumed by the U.S. Capitol Police. Oh, well.
When?
Good.
2009.
2009. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Hoover Dam Police.
What did Obama do to the Library of Congress Police?
Is that around the time we started archiving tweets?
Oh, shit.
Do you think they were just like, no, we're not going to protect this anymore?
I do think that.
I on the turkey story, one thing that came to mind is a single swing from a shepherd's staff was enough to defeat one of them.
Yeah.
I'm using this as further evidence in my case that everyone who has like performative online goose fear, you don't have to be afraid of geese. They're not that tough. You hit it in the neck once and you win. It's very easy. They're really small. They're nothing but bones and feathers. You don't have to be afraid of the goose.
Look,
geese are dicks. I will still hold a candle of fear for the swan.
Yeah, I mean, bees are mean.
This is the only way, Jason, that you could embrace like an Andrew Tate-ish role on the internet where your whole thing is like, we need to re-embrace our dominance over birds.
Yeah, like... I'm not afraid of a bird unless it is enormous and has gigantic claws and like could verifiably bite a large hole in me or is an ostrich. Otherwise,
dinosaur. You're scared of dinosaurs and ostriches.
I will not fight a dinosaur. I mean, shit, raptors weren't that fucking big. They were not as big as Jurassic Park said they were.
No, they're unparalleled.
I'll beat
and want
the fuck out of a raptor if I have to. Not that I want
Michael
to,
Felder,
but if it starts some shit. So, yeah, like, geese aren't scary. It's just a skinny turkey.
Jason Kirk issuing a
chilling challenge
to geese here in what I'm just calling our first episode of the offseason.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
All right, so because we have our fingers on the pulse of all things college football, realignment continues to be a topic of discussion.
Again?
Last week, yeah. I mean, the fact that, it's going to be like this for...
I refuse.
The next 15 years? At what point will we stop talking about realignment? When both the ACC and the Big 12 are done?
When there's one conference, and then we'll talk about it splitting up. Like, it's been like this for over a century.
Okay, good, good, good.
We're going to Pangea.
So, the thing I want to talk about is SEC figuring out what the schedule looks like with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma in 2024. A lot of this conversation has been framed around, okay, we think they're going to give everybody three permanent opponents, and then you're going to rotate. Who should those three be? How do you build this in a way that the schedules are equitable? who are the important rivalries, who are the rivalries that are historical but not important.
Which schools do not get a say because they are small.
Right. Correct. I would like to propose a different system that I've done a little bit of research on and I think holds up, but I mostly want to float it here to see what the three of you think. I have selected for each SEC school, including Texas and Oklahoma going forward, one other school that they will never play.
Ah.
That we say, instead of a permanent rivalry, permanent rivalries, we say, here are permanent never play teams.
The forbidden rivalry.
Everybody picks yes. South Carolina.
Yes. Yes. That, I mean, that would be great because then South Carolina wouldn't get to play.
This is called the Columbia Protocol.
South Carolina would play the Citadel and Clemson, and that would be the whole season.
That's fine.
Maybe NC State once every 3 years as well.
Oh, I like this.
Here's who I've come up with, and I want to see what you all think. First, I have stricken Georgia and Ole Miss from playing one another forever mm-hmm. again.
That's too much khaki. That is far too many collars.
Mm. Georgia leads the series 32-12-1. Georgia has technically Ole Miss has won the last game in this series in 2016. But that game was vacated. It was Kirby's first year, whatever. Georgia had won the last 10 before that, increasingly in blowouts. I just don't like, this is not an important game. I don't think we need to ever see Georgia and Ole Miss play. And we can dangle the whole, like, well, maybe you'll play each other in the SEC championship, a thing that Ole Miss never goes to.
Mm. Yeah. And there, I mean, this is just Georgia against mini Georgia.
Yeah.
Is all it is in terms yeah. of fan base constitution.
Right. Next, I have stricken Alabama, Kentucky. This is a series in which Kentucky
Everybody
has...
Everybody who cares about that yeah. is related to Bear Bryant.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there, and it's all the kind that you can put in a museum, and you don't yep. need to animate on a football field.
Yep.
Kentucky has won two games in this series. One of them was in 1922.
Woo!
The last three games in this series have been Bama wins by 63-3, 34-6, and 48-7. Next up, can anyone tell me something that has happened in Mississippi State, Missouri, ever?
Oh, wow.
Any memory yes. you have from this rivalry, as it were?
I'm only asking this because schedules have been weird and... They're in different divisions. Have they ever played?
They have.
I'm
going
to guess this is yeah. a Texas Bowl.
They have
before Mizzou joined.
These two teams have played four times. They played twice in the 80s, and they have played twice post Missouri joining the SEC. But I don't think anybody could tell you a single memorable moment, play, newsworthy thing. Not important. We already don't need Mississippi State, Mizzou. We don't need it going forward.
That was an interesting sentence because when you were saying it, I interpreted it as a list of things we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep, those are two things we don't need. How will we finish this list?
Right. You're really going to love this next one then. I'm just going to start with the first fact. James Franklin beat Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Auburn. Uh-huh. You know who he never beat? South Carolina.
I'm saying
South Carolina has
no one should play them. I don't care who's coaching them.
South Carolina has a 14 win streak against Vanderbilt. They lead the series 28-4.
Okay, and wait. So South Carolina should play Vanderbilt every year.
No,
this is a different argument.
No, no, no. Here is why.
Look, they're going to have to do this to somebody, and it might as well be the nerds.
It's not worthwhile to have it happen against Vanderbilt.
Why not?
Because anybody else can do it against Vanderbilt.
Funny.
In three of the four games that Vandy won, they did not score 20 points. So the only way for Vandy to win this game is like 14-6. I do not need it.
Yeah.
Relentless homerism from you there, Ryan, but I'll allow it because you seem emotional.
Thank you.
The thing is, this frees up more time for more, you know, classic rivalries we give a shit about, like Vanderbilt, Oklahoma.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Vanderbilt, Texas.
I love it.
That's the good shit.
I think Vandy and Oklahoma might have more in common than they maybe think.
Love baseball.
I was just thinking in terms of like being barons of things.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's got to be some oil and railroad connections in there somewhere.
Yeah, that probably tracks. Holly.
Darling.
Which school do you think I have taken away from Tennessee that they'll never play again? It's Texas A&M.
That's fine.
Only played, again, like Mississippi State, Mizzou, only played four times. One of those
I don't have any real feelings there one way or the other.
No.
But the longest game in CBS history we would have not had to endure.
The 2016, triple OT game?
Yeah, yeah.
With a million injuries?
Yeah.
It was.
I would also prefer not to have endured that game.
Yeah. One of these games in this four-game series, a 3-0 Tennessee win in the 1957 Gator Bowl. Don't need it. Done.
Nope.
Moving on.
No, thank you.
Arkansas, Oklahoma.
Wow.
Since
that's a big, oh gosh.
How many times do you think these two teams have played since 1926?
Wait, weren't they in the SWOOC together? That's the thing I'm saying to avoid calling it the SWAC because that's a different thing.
I'm looking at Winsipedia right now.
So this was Big
How
8.
How did you pronounce SWOOC?
Big 8 SWC. They were in different leagues and it was more Arkansas, Texas was the main rival.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Arkansas, Oklahoma, there's a lot of proximate history, a lot of orbiting history, but the amount of direct history, especially considering how close they are. I want some history here, Ryan. This is the first one I'm going to object to. Like, there should be a lot of history.
Yeah, here. I would see these particular varieties of crazy trained on each other.
Okay.
They're so close.
We can put it aside for the... My argument is this. They've only played three times since 1926. All of them were in bowl games. The most recent Arkansas win against Oklahoma was a Lou Holtz team. We don't need to invoke Lou Holtz.
We need to bury Lou Holtz beneath Sam Pitt.
Is he?
Physically, that's what we'll do.
No, he's not. He's not. I know.
So can we put procedural question?
Yeah.
Can we put a pin in this for the moment? And if we come up to another one that we object,
that you want to swap
about maybe swapping?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Okay. I think that's fine.
Arkansas, Oklahoma might be, other than the actual rivalries coming in. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, Oklahoma might be the one I'm looking forward to.
That you want to see?
Yeah.
Is that because like Arkansas is the Kansas State of? I don't want to go.
Maybe
down
it's
this
because
road.
Like is Arkansas it? Just hasn't. Other than like LSU, every now and then they just haven't really found that fit. And like Mizzou ain't it? Let's be honest. But Oklahoma, I see real potential for them to be just like an obnoxious thorn in Oklahoma's side.
Well, and they have culturally. I see a lot of parallels with Oklahoma State. And we're going to have to, in some form or fashion, we're going to have to replenish a little bit of that vitamin yeehaw in Oklahoma's diet.
I got it. Bedham. That's what we're
there. Yes. Whole hog bedham.
Okay. There's at least one other matchup on here. I know you guys aren't going to like. So
excellent.
We can talk switches here. This
is a well-constructed list. You always want to have stuff to jettison.
Yeah, well, that's why I bring it to you first.
Instead of directly to the SEC,
who listens to this podcast.
You are a merciful commissioner, Ryan. Thank you.
I will say, very briefly, this series has one of the best pairs back-to-back year-over-year scores ever. In 1917, Arkansas and Oklahoma played to a 0-0 tie. In 1918, Oklahoma beat Arkansas 103-0.
That's different.
See what I'm saying?
I kind of feel like there's a strong case to be made for the exact same thing to happen if we resume this series now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know in which direction, but
Florida and Texas have not played since 1940.
We can continue that. That's fine.
Florida. They've played three times. Florida only scored in the first game in the series. They scored a 7-7 tie. And also, both of these oranges on TV will just be fucking terrible.
Listen, I love the 2000s as much as anyone, but it's okay to just leave those things where they are.
Yeah.
Will Muschamp was supposed to save both these programs. Remember that?
He's still in waiting for both. This feels like one where it's like, oh, look at the helmets. College football's just better and all that shit. And it's like, I mean, yeah, they share the same names as states that are big. That doesn't mean we need to watch them play each other.
Will Muschamp's Texas head coach in waiting tenure is basically the very hungry caterpillar if you don't get to the part where he eats a leaf and becomes a cocoon.
One big bite.
I love cake! More cake, please!
the one page.
My tummy hurts, and I'm going to eat this sausage.
The I'll Cliff Notes Hungry Caterpillar.
Will Muschamp reading Brown Bear, Brown Bear?
All right. Last one. This is the one
I
think.
Brown Bear, what do you see? Who's asking?
This is the one I think you're going to fight me about. But I don't know how you're going to swap it with Arkansas and Oklahoma, but we'll talk it out. Auburn LSU. I know. I know this game is important.
What is wrong with you?
But here's my theory. This is the only game that
no one gets to avoid Auburn. Here's my late breaking rule.
This has been the only game played against a literal building fire. This is a Keymaster gatekeeper situation. God has told us these two teams should not play each other. And here's my best argument for
do something about it. Then
my best argument for why we shouldn't have this game. If we get to the end of the year and neither Auburn nor LSU has like this game to hang on to, they'll both be like, "Oh, we could have beat LSU. Oh, we could have beat Auburn's terrible. We could have beat them. God damn it. If only we got to play Auburn, our lives would be so much better." And I think the tension from keeping them apart.
Standing there with you. I will agree with you based on one principle.
Okay.
I don't know if principle is the word I even want there.
Okay.
While I would not agree, I would be willing to consent to this for the sole reason that while it is funny watching Auburn do that to LSU, Auburn does that to everybody.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not like Auburn is going to Auburn up for the most part on whoever they play. So I feel like I could live. It doesn't feel instinctually correct to me, but I feel like I could live without this one.
No, this is your worst idea by
this
far.
Is heresy. This is unacceptable. Okay,
like, I understand that Auburn LSU is an affront to the universe.
Look, I'll be honest. When I did,
that's a selling point.
The universe is the one that shat us up out of the ocean. So
look, when I did this exercise, I got to the end,
legs.
And these are the last two teams that I had. So I just had to stick them together because I didn't want to go. All right, but
to me, yeah. LSU is the only team capable of being Auburn's Auburn. This game every year is the final score is 24-21. Don't be fucking fooled. Don't look under that hood. You're going to see some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like this game, if you just tune into the final score, oh, phew, we made it. No, we didn't.
What a normal and fun football game. Nah, man.
No, it was awful. and we're keeping it. So I feel like South Carolina Vandy, I feel like we could mix those two with these two.
Okay.
Have a bowl, put some keys in, and do a little swapping. Like LSU South Carolina, they like talking about baseball, so maybe we keep them apart. But
yeah,
other than that,
yeah.
I feel like any combo there is probably fine. Auburn South Carolina, because all that brings up is that SEC title game that was like 7,000-0.
Yeah. Auburn South Carolina is semantically indistinguishable to me from either of these teams playing Georgia for some reason, despite neither of these teams being close to Georgia. I don't know why.
Auburn,
but like
South
on a
Carolina is just like people with too many thoughts on Clemson. Basically.
On a vibes level, I'm just like, this feels about the same.
Okay.
Like nutritional content,
South
similar.
South Carolina's like, we can't beat the other Clemson either.
All right, I'm fine if we take Auburn, South Carolina off the board. That leaves you Arkansas, Oklahoma, LSU, and Vandy. How do you want to mix these up?
Wow, that's a tricky one because there's only one Vandy to go around. Because, like, LSU, Oklahoma, we'd all like to see that. Got to keep LSU, Arkansas.
You see the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I'll certainly grant it's a challenge. Like, it's difficult when people try to do the Protect Three Rivalries thing. They think it's easy, and then they get more than, like six in, and then you see they sort of glaze over a little bit. This is
Bud
equally a challenge.
Buds
was very good.
One that I really liked.
Yeah, Buds was very good. Like Bud had a good one. Andy Staples had a good one. It takes a lot more thought than people who just sort of glance at it and think I could easily construct a system that would keep
like it
16
would almost
institutions
be,
happy.
Ryan, we're gonna finish your thing and then we're gonna do a quick draft and just go through 16 teams and see who is left after like four rounds.
Here is how I would like to leave this part of it. The team you shall never play. No, I think we're at a good stopping point.
Okay.
If you all will allow me to keep Arkansas-Oklahoma as a game that isn't played, I agree with Holly's instinct that Nobody should get to duck Auburn. And Jason's corollary that LSU is the only team that, like, these two are made. I think everybody should have to play LSU and Auburn, at least with some regularity. I think, that is a valuable enough exception for me to say everybody else gets one opponent they never play. Yes, yes. It is a burden that must be shared by all.
So I'm trading, I'm relinquishing Arkansas, Oklahoma in exchange for LSU and Auburn.
Playing each other.
Having no restrictions whatsoever.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Our barn.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I did like Bedham as a name.
Oh, man, we got to
save it for when they meet in the title game.
Okay. And again in the playoff.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right. Thank you for your support. Greg, just go ahead and plug all this into your computer. Make it happen.
Thanks for listening, sir.
Thanks for listening once again. See you at Media Days. This time I'll buy lunch.
As you're taking a break from investigating the LDS church for hiding $1 trillion or whatever, and then get back around to conference scheduling in between those two things. Thank you for listening, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I will say the other thing we could do if you want, Jason, if you wanted to say Vandy, Arkansas don't play and South Carolina, Oklahoma don't play, I think that would be a fine switch.
My only qualm is that South Carolina and Oklahoma is like the funniest realignment matchup because they're so far apart. But Oklahoma, Florida sounds almost as funny. Oklahoma, Kentucky sounds almost as funny. So yeah, I love that. Yeah,
UCF will be in the SEC in like 5 years. Yeah, just give it a few minutes. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
After they win the Big 12 like 3 times.
Yeah, Air Force, Georgia Southern will be an SEC game in about
Washington.
A decade.
Washington's going to be an SEC team. I think we all know this.
They're cut out for it. Then you have two Daugs.
Dang.
And then we have like competing naval tailgates. And yeah, it'll be great.
Bull.
So all much right. Purple.
I'm ready. My body is ready.
Go for it.
Okay, so what we're going to do here real quick is I just want to do a very quick mock draft of permanent rivals just so you at home can see how thorny this gets, how fast. So basically we're going to go through Serba, you're playing also because there's three of you, and I'm going to be commish. We're going to go through the 16 schools of the forthcoming Southeastern Conference. You're going to pick three cross-divisional rivals for each school, and we're going to see how quickly this thing becomes undraftable or how quickly we get to, like, a weird amalgamation.
Okay, yeah.
Jason, what's up?
So we could try to fuck it up on purpose.
You could.
Should we do the actually funnier thing and do the sincere version that falls apart on its own?
Yes.
That's what I was kind of trying to point at. Okay. Although you are, of course, welcome to play along at home. Also, I'm going to kind of go in faint power order here because we know that the conference is going to pay more to, like, we know, of course, they're paying more attention to who Georgia plays than who South Carolina plays. This is how the world works. Calm down. This is not us endorsing that process.
This is one of the, like, almost constant thing, just as a small preview, things that constantly get run into as a complaint here is Kentucky not playing all the teams Kentucky apparently wants to play. And it's, well, here's the thing. You're Kentucky.
Kentucky, the turkey to Alabama's bald eagle.
You made a really strong case for the past like 5 years for wiggling out of that well, and then this year happened. So, all right. So let's start with, let's see, Jason, you are picking for the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right. Well, Georgia and Florida. This has to happen every year.
Okay. Second team. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, this is, sorry, primary rival. Second team, we are going with, I'm going to take Alabama. It is the next team to pick. And Ryan, you are picking Alabama's primary rival.
Auburn.
Serber.
See, Greg, this is so easy. As you can tell, we're just having a fucking swimming time.
Get off your ass, Greg.
Yeah, Greg, Jesus. Server, this is my party, so you are picking third, and you are picking for Tennessee because we are rich.
Vandy.
We're supposed to do this for real.
LOL.
It's the primary rival.
No, it's state. We're supposed to do this for real.
Alabama, if Alabama's really? Is Auburn, Bama's, Tennessee's
Bama's
Bama.
Already taken in the first column, Bama.
Right?
No, but that doesn't. The number columns don't have to match up.
Well,
I thought you said primary rival.
Okay,
the primary rival left among the teams that are available.
No, we're not taking them off the board. Everybody gets three, dude.
Okay. But, so we can't go ahead and start filling out Tennessee's second.
So one team can be multiple other teams' primary rival, is what you're saying.
No, sorry. I was saying we're picking in order of all teams are still off the board. Teams don't go off the board until they've been picked three times.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now that I know that, Vanderbilt.
And there we have it. The draft fell apart. All right. The end.
I think this is a miscommunication and not him tanking it.
I thought I was picking this is the primary rival. And since Alabama's was already taken,
sense. I was just saying, go down the list of teams, which at this point is still every team, and then be like,
yes.
Okay, who is the most
important? What is the most important game that has to be preserved for Tennessee?
Okay, Tennessee-Alabama.
Which at Tennessee is weird because it's generational, which is why I like Buds, by the way, because there's this weird generational divide, before 90s and after, that's it's Alabama, no, it's Florida.
Right.
And then they threw Vanderbilt in.
Okay, Bama is who server is picking.
My general manager doesn't want to go with my plan. So.
Rejected for basketball.
I thought you were fucking with me.
Here's Bama. Here, Holly.
So,
why
Bama now has two spots taken already.
Here is why you know server is not being the Spencer. He listened to feedback that you gave him.
I love that we're shitting
but
on Spencer.
He was laughing the whole time.
When he's dead? Yeah, sorry, dead Spencer.
Well, first of all, there's that. We're shitting on Spencer. First of all, he's dead. And secondly, we didn't even make it through round one before
became Spencer's fault. Yes.
This kind of proves the point.
Okay. Yeah.
That is exactly what Spencer would do, though, to be fair.
So Bama has two or three spots taken.
Spencer also. Server at least had the dignity to just say Vanderbilt. Spencer would have talked for 2.5 minutes and then said Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about a cool dog I met today?
All right, who's next?
I don't know.
Are you picking?
Now I feel bad for yelling.
Do you want to pick a team since
there's 16 teams, so I probably should.
Here, you pick Holly. You pick Texas.
I will. It's very sweet that you think Texas is getting fourth pick in anything in this conference.
They have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So Texas is. I'm going to take the Oklahoma for the pick, and that means Oklahoma's for Texas. All right. Jason, you are going next, and I am going to give you Oklahoma, who already has Texas as their first of three rivalry games. Okay, all teams are still on the board.
So we have A&M history, we have Mizzou history, and then a bunch of So considering the fact that A&M already has new rivals and old rivals, and we are not going to find many better options for Mizzou, we're going to go Oklahoma-Mizzou.
All right.
Okay.
So Oklahoma has two slots taken. All right.
Swole, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Ryan, you are up next, and I'm going to give you Florida, who already has Georgia as their first game. All teams are still on the board.
Yeah, it's Tennessee.
Yep, I think so too. Tennessee has Florida. Cerber, I am going to give you LSU.
Pick Vandy.
I swear to God.
I'm not going to pick Vandy. I'm going to pick Alabama again.
I love it.
Okay.
All right.
I love it. It's very modern.
I like this because this is going to make certain people mad. So
Bama's dance card is full.
This is kind of part of what I was trying to demonstrate. We are halfway through the first round, and Bama is off the board.
Everyone who thought of themselves as Bama's rival, surprise, you're not.
Yeah.
Guess what? You don't have to play Bama every year.
Yeah.
Stop whining. Lay low.
Yeah. Let me be the first to top this podium to tell you about playing Bama in Georgia every year.
Fucking sucks.
Don't do it. Strong disagree. Yeah.
All right. Is it down to me? It's down to me. I have made them wait and stew long enough about I've made them wait like 17 spots, so I might go ahead and pick Auburn. But now let's go ahead and grab Texas A&M. Because money. I'm going to take Texas A&M. Bama is off the board. All other teams remain. I cannot resist this joke. I feel like I should be a better person and be able to resist this joke, but I
can't. Not on this show.
So they're not rivals, but I love new rivalries. So I'm going to put Texas in here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I would.
We said
would
we weren't going to get silly with this, but we'll make an exception just for this one.
I'm whimsical. Is the thing. I'm a very whimsical person.
Because you can imagine what it would be like if these two were
I can't. It's so foreign.
I think it would be cool to see if they suddenly, starting now, spent all their time thinking about each other.
They're so different. Yeah. They're so different, you guys.
But do
they're
they
like
know
not
that they're
at
different?
All alike?
Can you imagine them like talking all day long about how different they are?
I've never heard them do that. A great romance has been built upon having different parts.
We'll see what it's like when they start.
It's just that, like, one of them is online in a cool and fun way, and one of them is online in a bad and stupid way, and they know which one is which, obviously.
Yeah, I do, too.
We all know which one is which.
And their traditions, like, their traditions, one of them is so, like, meaningful, and the other one
and
is
one
just
of them
so
is just
goofy
total
and
bullshit.
And weird and creepy.
Right. Oh, so stupid.
And I'm definitely, I'm talking about yours.
And we know which one is which.
And we know which one is the cooler animal, also.
100%, yep. Mm.
One of them puts the italics on well regulated, and one of them puts the italics on militia.
And we know which one is Richard, too. That's the main thing.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. And the important thing is that Tennessee was a university before Texas was even a state.
It's not just that we know which one is Richard. We know which one is, like, deservedly richer. We know which one deserves to be rich.
It's not just that they're better people, they're smarter.
They're smarter, they work harder.
Richer in terms of intelligently investing their massive wealth in football.
Yeah. And culturally.
For the future.
Culturally,
one of them is just coasting on like
oil,
dad
gas,
and granddad's
and
money.
Yeah.
The other also, I know which head coach I'd rather have on his current contract.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
That was probably the obvious. Yeah, sorry. I went too far with that one.
I'm sorry, I fell through the glass wall there. Woo! Oh, all right, Huckleberries. Let's bring this pony on back to the stable. Jason, we've been having them wait an awful long time. Why don't you take Auburn, who currently has Bama on their dance card and no one else? All other teams are still available.
Well, I realize my beloved LSU Auburn is at risk, but I have to go with the game has a name, Auburn Georgia, which is also very dumb, very good.
Very dumb and very good.
This is trending towards where Tennessee Bama was for a long time, where it's like, I understand this is important, but it feels mean.
Sure. It'll be like that for a few more years at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I'm fine with the current guy at Auburn. Having a bad time.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's see. We're really getting down in the...
That's fine.
Here. But I'm going to be mean-spirited here and just take the team that I like the best. Ryan, Arkansas has no one on their schedule yet. So, Arkansas, 3 slots open.
The two schools that they have played the most in their history are A&M and Texas, in that order. Mm-hmm. They are slightly more successful against... No, they're actually quite a bit more successful against A&M. So let's make the Aggies a permanent opponent.
All right.
We'll probably circle back and get Texas at some point, but
Arkansas, Texas A&M takes Arkansas. All right, Bama is still the only team fully off the board. Serber, to make up for my yelling at you earlier because you were doing it wrong, I'm going to let you pick for South Carolina.
This is hard. I don't.
It is hard.
Like, picking for South Carolina is miserable.
I don't see it that way. Like South Carolina, and listen, this is where I start to be Charlie Day with the yarn board. But y'all know how I feel about playing South Carolina. They are a lesser power, but they are the SEC East analog to playing Auburn.
Sure,
shit's gonna happen to you.
Right, but they're also a team where they probably have all sorts of ideas about who their rivals are that. Mm. From the outside, no one could even possibly guess.
But Serber is the insider here, so I'm curious what he wants to say.
South Carolina correspondent Michael Serber, what you got?
With apologies to the folks in Athens, it's Georgia.
Wow.
It's one of the best choices. I mean,
it is.
Like, It's hard to argue. They're really close. They've had, like, memorable games.
Mm-hmm. And with that, Georgia is off the board.
So Georgia's permanent opponents in their current state are South Carolina, Florida, and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at that. Jesus Georgia, Tennessee. Christ. We think of that as a huge rivalry, and it doesn't make the cut. That's how it's it goes. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't yeah. exist. Yeah.
But this, again, this is part of what we're trying to demonstrate.
Yeah.
Okay. I will take my... I will take my beautiful beleaguered Kentucky Wildcats up on out of the holler. I suppose Mississippi will get to you. Calm down.
That one at least has an easy one for to go with. So.
Yeah, that's kind of what that's kind of what makes it feel less urgent to me.
Just play the Red Bull three times. That's your there's your permanent bonus. it's like tennis.
Oh. Oh man, Kentucky, I don't know. This is all bad. None of this is good.
Is Tennessee's full? Is that right?
Tennessee is not full, but I actually do want to... I do think it's more important. It might not be my draft pick. I do think it's important to prioritize the in-state over the I-75 whatever.
But are you picking for Kentucky?
Yeah, doesn't Kentucky want Kentucky. Florida? Like, if they're if you ask them, like, the one that they want. Because that game is usually pretty awesome.
No, you're absolutely right. Kentucky's going to take Tennessee. You're absolutely right. I was thinking omniscient.
Oh, you think they're going to take Tennessee instead of Florida?
Do I think no? Because they'll want to recruit in Florida more than they want, more than they care about that. Yeah. Yep.
I think it's Florida.
Kentucky relies too much on Florida recruiting. You are absolutely right. Florida, Georgia. See, and look at the order in which these are falling off. Florida, Georgia, and Bama are off the board. All right.
Vanderbilt wins no games.
Florida LSU is gone. It's another big rivalry that just
that's for the best. Because that's also for the best.
You're wrong. That's
biased. Also, in keeping with their not liking to travel at all, Florida's rivals are all in the SEC East. They just kind of have to go up and down a little bit. Jason, why don't you make a selection for the Ole Miss Black Bears Sharks?
Let me think long and hard about, let me just sort of, in my head, control F, the first letters of Mississippi and see, oh, okay.
Big
I guess
Vanderbilt.
We'll go with
Big
Missouri, oh, sorry, Mississippi State. We'll just, I guess we'll find room for the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, I suppose.
I would appreciate if Ole Miss and Mizzou decided, like, this is the jumbo Egg Bowl. This is the real.
Extra large. Hey, eggs Green are expensive egg now. Bowl. We're rich.
Green Eggs Bowl.
The Double Yolk Egg Bowl.
Are those lucky or cursed?
The Sausage Bowl.
That's a great Egg Bowl question.
They're delicious. I know that.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. So let's see. Jason just picked. So, Ryan, it is over to you. Why don't you take Vanderbilt?
God.
Oh, your beloved Vanderbilt.
Yeah. All right. Take, so, if we're doing hometown boys.
If we're doing this from the perspective of who does the school want, Vanderbilt wants Tennessee.
You sick fucking bastard. You're an awful person.
If you hadn't been laughing the whole time.
Because it's fun to draft.
See,
it's the joy of drafting.
Everybody thinks that's a goof on my pick, but Cerber was going to say that no matter who I picked, actually.
Yeah, I was.
He was.
I was. That's what I think of you personally.
All right, so Tennessee's rivals are, so our full cards are Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida.
Okay.
So far, and nothing super unreasonable. Is happening so far, apart from the Florida LSU.
Yeah, Florida LSU Florida being LSU there bluff. Instead of Florida Kentucky being there instead of Florida LSU is weird, but fine.
Yeah. And also, you know,
also,
for some
Kentucky
of these,
gets one you, over on them every once in a while.
Yeah,
I think you sort of run into with if you're doing this for real is competitive balance.
Mm-hmm. Like,
Some of these teams have really an ambitious list of teams they consider rivals. That I don't know why they do that, but that's their business.
You mean South Carolina picking Georgia first overall?
Hey.
Well, not so much, because everyone should have, like, one
okay.
challenge
yeah.
in there.
Sure.
But, you know, some of them, like, well, Tennessee, for instance, right? Or Bama,
yeah.
Georgia. Like, all the big teams that all declare each other rivals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice to mix in a Kentucky.
Yeah, that's fair.
And like, you shouldn't complain
Can't
if that happens
confirm.
For you.
Cerber, why don't you take Mississippi State? They have Ole Miss, and that's all.
You see, Spencer leaves, and we talk about football for once. We just get down to the what this podcast is supposed to be about.
You won't find out about that, though.
Don't have to
deal buried. He won't
because he's dead.
It.
That's true.
And so is
yeah.
he.
Yeah.
And A&M is still on the board.
A&M is on the, sorry, on the board we have Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, A&M, Auburn, Arkansas, South Carolina, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Vandy, Mississippi State, and Mizzou.
Mississippi State might take Kentucky. Right? Or would it be A&M? I guess, like, that,
I think
those
they would
are the
probably lean more west, especially for they need a Cruton.
Yeah,
they
just a game in Texas every other year.
So MSU Kentucky, what you have there is that was a CBS game once. That was a very highly rated game just a few years ago. Uh-huh. I mean, we're scraping the barrel for football history.
We're like, scraping the barrel, but also there are so many west teams left on the board. Like Mississippi State could take Texas right now, technically, if they wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think A&M is the.
You want A&M?
Yeah.
What is the history there? What are we leaning
on?
Don't
know.
I don't like that's Maroon the thing. Out to, like with Texas A&M, Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, Arkansas has a claim to a little bit more history, but really their histories are with each other, and anyone else we try and inject it with is kind of like.
So I think.
But
we
thinking
can,
from the perspective of the school, who would you take here?
LSU is still on the board.
LSU still on the board.
Oh, LSU still on the board. It's LSU.
That's a good choice.
Yeah,
that's a good choice. LSU. That works.
Yeah.
All right. And
they're off now, right?
No. The only people who have picked LSU so far are Bama.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I am taking Mizzou, who has Oklahoma, and kind of want to put you back in the Big 12 where you goddamn belong. But they are last, so I kind of want to give them. I kind of want to give them something funky, give them a little something good. Yeah, let's add A&M there.
For Mizzou?
Yeah.
Huh.
I thought we have Mizzou. I thought you were going to go Vanderbilt with this one.
That would have been very funny.
Do we
you
know what?
Or I thought you were going to go South Carolina for the Columbia's battle.
That's nope. Good. Never mind. I am.
Okay.
That's a stupid reason.
Okay.
We're very whimsical here.
There is also one important game I can think of in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more than I can say for a lot of these pretend matchups.
All right. So, starting back up at the top, Georgia is full. Alabama is full. Tennessee is full. So, Jason, if you want to pick for Texas, their third rivalry after Oklahoma and A&M.
So Texas, in addition to their rival Oklahoma and this new thing we're trying out with A&M.
I'll try new things.
So LSU is an option. Mizzou is an option, but far and away the standout without question here, so much history, is Arkansas. Arkansas cannot fucking stand Texas, and Texas will learn to hate Arkansas.
This is the Richard Nixon game, right?
Yes, this is.
Okay, I mean,
every year we get to talk about the most insane, most American moment in the history of college football,
which involves a Californian.
Think about that game.
And Arkansas's Arkansas has two rivalry games now that are Texas A&M and Texas, and that just feels spiritually correct.
Yeah, and then the two of those who don't care about each other can also talk about their transitive results against Arkansas.
That's
yeah.
right. Both losses.
Everybody wins except for the ones.
We lost to Arkansas better than you did.
We got a lot closer than you did.
All right, whoever Ryan, would you like to pick Oklahoma's final spot? Right now they are playing Texas and Mizzou.
Gosh.
And here are your available teams.
Yeah. This is tricky. I don't know that there is one that I guess I should be saying A&M here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's the only one that makes overwhelming sense.
If you're thinking from Oklahoma perspective and thinking on behalf of the school, you know, remember LSU is still on the board.
Yeah.
If you wanna go to the other end of the state or the other end of the conference and do a little cruton, you know, Auburn is close to Georgia.
This is our chance, Arkansas, Oklahoma, to make it happen, to make up for what we
brought
the first time around.
No, I think LSU is too tempting.
All right. LSU off the board.
And that fills their dance card
And that makes LSU's dance card Alabama, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma. That is spicy.
So there goes
Good
no
Christ.
No LSU Florida, no LSU Auburn, no LSU Ole Miss.
No LSU Arkansas.
Arkansas. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Serber, would you like to pick the third rivalry game for Texas A&M, already playing Texas and Arkansas?
It's, and Oklahoma is full.
They're sorry, Oklahoma board. Is off the board. This is where it gets weird.
Yeah, because I'm torn.
I mean, not think quite, it's, but we're close to getting weird.
I think it's Auburn, but maybe South Carolina?
I can see Ole Miss here, too.
They do have a trophy.
Yeah.
Carolina does have a trophy with them.
I kind of like the Ole Miss pick, actually.
Rebs? Yeah, I think
just
it's
like
Rebs.
Just like Homeowners Association versus we'll show you a fucking military.
Yeah, I think it's Rebs because you do worry that once every 6 years, Auburn's going to have a team that could beat the piss out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they fire this coach, of course, three years from now.
Can you can you say what day it is again, sir? Yeah.
between 3 weeks and 3 years from now.
So Texas A&M's dance card is filled with Texas, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. All right. That leaves me to pick Auburn's final game after Alabama and Georgia. And, oh, y'all, I don't want peace.
I think this is an easy choice, but I want to see what you pick.
I want South
I think
Carolina.
There's a very Holly choice here, at least. Let me put it
What does way. That mean?
No, I think Mississippi State is the Holly
choice
here.
Oh, I was going to say South Carolina, but thank you for the Baby I'm Burning shout-out.
Yeah, that's all I meant.
I would love to honor the heritage of Baby I'm Burning. Yeah. Yeah, and Auburn already has to go eat. Yeah, okay.
They're already playing Bama in Georgia. Give them something.
Yeah, let's give them Missy State. Yeah.
We'll also beat them. Mini
sleep time. I didn't. Ryan said that. That might have sounded like my voice, but it wasn't.
Sorry.
All right. So this also fills out.
Wait,
did that
what did
wrong.
You
yes. Thank you. I did that wrong.
Okay.
This also fills out Mississippi State's.
That's not right either.
What did I just do?
They're playing
Auburn. Moved to South Carolina for some reason.
I'm doing good.
No. South Carolina's not playing.
South Carolina playing South Carolina.
No, that's not right either.
Wait, oh,
no.
What?
Delete. Delete.
Take Auburn,
what
drag them,
do?
Put them in Mississippi State.
Take Auburn, drag them, not a problem.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
That was, man, I flew too close to the sun there. Did you see some of the possibilities?
Greg, I apologize. This is hard, dude. I know I was riding you hard before, but this is fucking hard, dude.
So, speaking of that's fucking hard, dude, Mississippi State's slate is Ole Miss, LSU, and Auburn.
Oh. Wow. Yeah.
Which is like, that's not necessarily hard, but regardless of whether or not it's hard, it's stressful.
It's stressful. That's exactly what I was going to say. It is stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, there aren't
this is like the ultimate, we're going on vacation with four couples that we hate.
Perfect. That's what we're aiming for here.
Jimbo's not even involved. Jesus.
On the next season of White Lotus.
Jimbo's not a couple. That's why.
Jason, would you like to pick Arkansas's last game? They have A&M and Texas to date.
Okay. All right. Well, Ole Miss, they've played some memorable games. Mizzou, they have a trophy. That's really all we're working with here.
So do we want to get weird? Do we want to build on tiny bits of old history? Do we want to build something new for no good reason?
I'll tell you, I personally greatly prefer Arkansas Ole Miss.
All right.
And
we've got.
I mean, if I'm thinking big picture, I'm thinking like we need to save this for Mizzou. Mm-hmm. But if my job is to pick as Arkansas.
Right.
Then again, they kind of hate playing Arkansas. Hate playing Ole Miss, which also hates playing them. And you know what? If you both hate playing each other, you're going to play each other. Ole Miss.
All right. Draft day, baby. So that makes Arkansas's dance card Texas, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss. And that makes Ole Miss's Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. That's another card where it's not necessarily hard, but it is stressful.
Yeah.
So much red.
So much red. Blood everywhere. All right. Ryan, South Carolina falls to you. They are playing Georgia and Missouri. The teams remaining on the board for you to pick are Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
Arkansas's gone. Arkansas's full.
Never mind. So I'm already catching up.
It's just Kentucky and Vanderbilt?
Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I mean, I just said in my made-up game that it can't be Vandy, so I have to pick Kentucky. I have to be true to my own bullshit. That's the other part about being a conference.
This really turned around fast for South Carolina. They started with Georgia and they ended with Mizzou and Kentucky.
Yeah.
So South Carolina is Georgia, Mizzou, Kentucky. Which, hey man, let's let South Carolina have some shine. Who knows? And Cerber, this leaves you to pick Kentucky's final game. They have Florida and South Carolina. Your choices are we're going to end up with Vanderbilt and Missouri playing each other twice.
There's nothing to pick here, though, right? Because Vanderbilt, based on who you have left, Vanderbilt has to play Kentucky and Mizzou. So we've already solved this.
Yeah.
But we got a draft.
See, Greg, how easy this was? Yeah. Oh, we have to draft so someone has to feel like they're last.
Yeah.
Okay, Kentucky and Vandy.
Not Missouri.
Fuck Missouri.
All right, so Vandy is playing Tennessee and Kentucky. Kentucky is full. That leaves Vanderbilt and Mizzou as we,
like I said,
we knew it would.
Fuck Missouri.
This is a wildly unbalanced.
That's a draft. So let's read from top to bottom in order of picks and see what we think of here. Georgia, Florida, Auburn, South Carolina.
I love this one, actually.
That's about as good as it's going
to
get.
They don't ever have to stray that far from 75. They'll love it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Bama, Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. I love the chaos potential here.
I think this is a good mix of like ancient history, recent history. Yeah, no, I think this one's good.
Also, all these games are going to make Nick cranky in a different way. Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt. I genuinely believe this is the best way to keep most of Tennessee's more violent factions quiet.
This is correct. And I think, like, you know, you could say, oh, they have bigger rivals elsewhere. But if you have two state schools that don't play each other every year, that's dumb.
I am so, listen, this is what made me declare Bud's collection of rivalry projections the winner. I am so fucking sick of the Tennessee-Georgia series. I've written about this before. It is boring. There's no trophy. There's no name. Like, it's a border war between two states that are in a fight over water, and we can't even make a good rivalry series out of that?
It is a weird rivalry in that. It will be better when it is only played occasionally.
Yeah.
When it
is like, part of a rotation. And there have been fun games and funny games and devastating games, but like, there's no personality to that series whatsoever. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah.
All right. Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. Oh,
perfect.
Back where you belong.
Two biggest rivals and also Texas A&M.
Excited to try something new there. Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, LSU.
This is the most, well, you joined the SEC, too bad, schedule. Like, there isn't...
Y'all wanted it.
It may be weird, but, like, what would the alternative be? You should have brought your little brother with you if you wanted to keep playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
Texas and Mizzou, I think, are the two easy choices there. And then you're just going to have a curveball. Staples end up with Oklahoma, Florida, which I thought was genius. But
that's a good baseball.
You're just going to have one weird pick.
That's a great softball series. It's already going to be a softball rivalry.
If you're refusing to give the people Oklahoma, Arkansas, that is.
Which, by the way, like, among all the bullshit that's happening here, I am so ready for the baseball and softball that is about to ensue out of this amalgamation. Oh, I'm finally a dad. All right, Florida gets Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. Again, they will hardly have to leave by 75. Congratulations on all your success.
Somebody has to play Kentucky.
LSU gets Alabama, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma.
This is the weirdest one, right?
LSU-Bama is right. And then other than that, they don't play any of their 18 semi-rivals. Mm-hmm.
But they also
this is another fine baseball series.
I feel like LSU goes out of its way to be like, yeah, we don't care about Arkansas that much.
Sure.
Yeah, so, we know what they do to the trophy.
I think what we're doing is listening to LSU with this schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said yeah. You don't have rivals.
Yeah.
Well, and also, this is two teams that it will be very funny for LSU to hamstring, and one team that will be very funny for them to hamstring LSU. Yeah.
To be clear, I do think MSU is a good pick here. So I think
that's, yeah, I think, that's I think so pick. Too.
Yeah. Texas A&M gets Texas, Arkansas, Ole Miss, something old, something new, and something borrowed. Stolen
something
Ballard.
Woo, something woo.
Texas Ole Miss is so many kinds of white people.
Oh, vibes check.
Oh, it's A&M Ole Miss, sorry. Same thing.
Same, yeah.
These are A&M getting Texas, Arkansas, and Ole Miss is the three types of rich people. Fancy rich people, not fancy rich people, and fake rich people.
Ooh. I love it when you don't pretend to be nicer than the rest of us. Let's see, that gives Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi State. Auburn's just going to, which again with the LSU, this is two teams that Auburn can ankle bite and one team that can ankle bite Auburn.
I mean, the problem with Auburn's schedule is that Auburn has to play it, so.
Yeah, but that every once in a while that seems to work out really well for us.
I would like to point out, we didn't preserve LSU Auburn as much as we said that was important.
This is exactly the right choice for Auburn, all things considered.
Yeah.
Arkansas, we have Texas A&M, Texas, and Ole Miss. Again, and this is not, I want to emphasize, this is not what we were trying to do with Missouri and jam them back into the Big 12 where they belong. This feels like returning Arkansas to its natural habitat.
So if I had taken Mizzou because there's a trophy game, then what does Ole Miss end up with? Like Ole Miss Kentucky or Ole Miss Vandy or something? No one cares about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You could actually end up with Ole Miss South Carolina.
Whatever. Those are two teams. Oh.
What are we down to? South Carolina, Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky. Fine. So that's sure. Competitive balance. There. Have some competitive balance. Also, do something real stupid to Georgia. Kentucky, by the same token, gets Florida, South Carolina, and Vandy. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Vandy gets Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, which looks like Vandy's schedule right now. Anyway, black and gold fight. What was that awful old-fashioned Commodores chant at the UConn game from like the 1900s?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Show your gold!
Yeah, that's right.
Mississippi State gets the spicy combo of Ole Miss, LSU, and Auburn.
God, just bad forever.
Well, yeah, because that's so different.
This I know. It's a fighty schedule.
It's very much stay where you are. Stay where you belong.
Hold still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mizzou gets Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, which considering how we all feel about Mizzou, doesn't feel that bad.
I think this is fine.
I think Mizzou
never
would
mind.
Like
we changed our minds.
Oklahoma.
This was easy. Why are you complaining?
The only thing I have felt about this, and I've said this previously in other places, is it's the third game. That is always the, like, I guess we'll do this. Like, so many of these, the first two, I'm like, yeah, those are good. Like, we should play those every year games. And the third one, I'm like, I guess we'll play that every year. I guess so. Sure. Well, I don't really see the point of it.
Do we want to do something real weird and advocate for a thing where it's, like, two permanent rivalry games and one every other year rivalry game? And you
sure.
Get a 3A and a 3B? Because this could get weirder.
I would also be fine if we just said, like...
Just two?
You know what it should be?
When I was
applying to college, if you wanted to room with somebody in housing at Florida, both of you had to put each other's names on because of this old the paper form that was like, here's the dorm I'm requesting and here's the roommate. And if you didn't both put the name in, you didn't get play. You didn't get to room with each other. Mm-hmm. I think the SEC should say, all right, everybody send us your list of who you think your rivals are.
Oh, Charlie Brown, Valentine's Day.
And every time there's a match, if you both think you're rivals, you are. And if that means
like
Auburn has
voting?
If that means Auburn has five permanent opponents every year, that's what it means. If it means Vanderbilt has no permanent opponents, that's what, like, I don't think we have to be equal about it.
That's a good point. Like, yeah, we're imposing a metric that doesn't necessarily have to exist. I like Vandy being Ronins.
Well, it's like because Jason has said, like, the competitive balance part of that, this, like, the NFL very specifically is like, we're just going to pair you up outside of your division. We're going to pair you up with, you know, who basically was as good or bad of the other divisions that you happen to be playing that year. But I think we should just lean completely away from that and just say, like, yeah, if you both want to be part of this mess, you should get to be part of that mess on a regular basis.
It's the who you want system.
Yes.
Because, like, if I'm a smart athletic director, I'm just writing Vandy's name 9 times.
Right? And hoping that they write your name back.
Yeah. At least once. But, you know, and just telling the boosters, like, yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a trophy that you paid a lot of money to, like, rub rich people blood on or whatever. You know, like, yeah, I get it. There's some series that your great-great-granddaddy fought in the coal mines for. Too fucking bad. We're not playing it. We're trying to win the conference. We're going to play Vandy 9 times. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a shit about history and all that. We're trying to beat Vandy.
Yeah. You don't tell everybody, like, hey, our conference includes Oklahoma and Texas now because history and tradition are the important thing in the SEC.
Right. Stop lying. Just stop lying to each other.
One thing a lot of these people don't ever have to do is, you know, they're not often pressed. They're not often presented with situations in which they're pressed for an answer.
Right.
So put the question to them directly. You know, would you rather have this history or would you rather have the Dubs?
Right.
And, you know, make them choose.
Yeah. Now, I mean, do what the Big Ten did. Add Rutgers.
So this process was, I think, tricky, but not all that tricky because of the Big Eight and the Southwest Conference. Like, there's enough sort of old history here that we can sort of pull some connections back together.
Who played in the Rose Bowl most recently? You're looking at that.
Not UCLA. That's for sure.
UCLA at Rose Bowl? It's been a while.
When was the last time UCLA played in the Rose Bowl that wasn't a UCLA home game? Let me look.
Didn't it happen in like 04, 06, something like that?
I'm going to look.
I know they did it twice in the 90s at least.
Scrolling. The last Rose Bowl that UCLA played in was on January 1st, 1999, when they lost to Ron Dane's Wisconsin team.
There's one.
And then 1994, Cerber is correct, they lost to a different Wisconsin team.
So there's one rival.
Traditions.
All right.
It's only because Wayne Cook was banged up in the game. They would have done it had Wayne been healthy. I'm sure of that.
Yep. Yeah, they have. They don't play in a lot of. They have not played in a lot of modern Rose Bowls.